It's a pleasure to see so many shareholders in attendance, and among you there's many familiar faces. For good order's sake, could I kindly ask those of you that have forgotten to turn off your mobile phones to do so. The Secretary has confirmed that the necessary quorum of members is present to allow the meeting to proceed, and I have pleasure in declaring the meeting open. Firstly, I'd like to thank all our shareholders for taking the time to come to the AGM today. I know that many of you have travelled a long distance to make this effort, and that we certainly appreciate it. Before going further, let me introduce my fellow board members, and I'll go from my left to right. Someone that needs no introduction to you is our Chief Executive, Chris Morris. Next door is Penny McLachlan, one of our really important directors because of her contribution to technology. Mr. Tony Wales on her left. Mr. Simon Jones, who brings a bit of hybrid vigour to the board, being much younger than the rest of us. Dr. Marcus Kerber, who has come all the way from Germany to attend this meeting, together with 2 days of board meetings previously. And our Managing Director-elect, Stuart Crosby, who at the end of this meeting will take over from Chris Morris as Chief Executive. And our Chief Financial Officer, Tom Honan, right on the left. We do have an apology from Bill Ford, who for medical reasons couldn't be with us today, and also from Phil DeFeo, who has been here for the last 2 days for board meetings but had to catch a plane back to Chicago for an important board meeting there later in the day. Also attending is Mr. John Yeoman, representative from our company auditors, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and Bart Aldervanink, the representative from our lawyers, Minter Ellison. The minutes of the annual general meeting of 9th of November last year have been read and signed by the chairman as the correct record. These minutes are available for inspection by any shareholder. Notice of this meeting is given to shareholders in accordance with the company's constitution and the Corporations Act 2001. Copies are also available at the rack of the room. The notice sets out the business of this meeting, and I take the notice as being read. I now come to the chairman's address. And again, I welcome you to this AGM, which is my last AGM as chairman. I think you'll all agree that following another year of record revenues, profit levels and cash flows, Computershare can justifiably be proud of its Australian success story on the international stage. This is not purely an internal view. It is a view shared by respected market commentators such as Robert Gottliebson, who earlier this year noted, Computershare Chief Executive Chris Morris has pulled off a coup never before achieved by an Australian Chief Executive, establishing a major global business in a well-established industry that is five times the size of his nearest competitor. It has been the company's long-held belief and ambition that to truly succeed on a global level, we need a strong presence in the key US market. Thanks to the rapid integration of the former Equiserve business, now part of the Computershare Investor Services, and the growth of our other core businesses, Computershare now enjoys US market leadership in the investor services, mutual proxy fund services, and corporate proxy solicitation sectors. This integration has highlighted the strength of Computershare's global business model, with support and resources from the company's global network allowing the project to achieve key milestones ahead of schedule. The majority of group revenue now emanates from North America, and we have established a solid platform for further expansion in that region. Other notable achievements during the year included significant turnaround of Computershare's UK business following a major restructure, a stronger spread of contributions across all business lines, and our achievements in the emerging markets such as China, Russia and India. Our business continues to expand organically through strategic acquisition and is ideally positioned to continue its success in recent years. Financial results. Once again, Computershare recorded strong financial growth, increasing earnings per share by 41% on a management adjusted IFRS basis from 21.54 cents to 30.44 cents per share. Total revenues grew by 50% from $1,083,000 1,000 to 1,626,000, which helped drive a 52% increase in management EBITDA to 321.3 million. A significant achievement was the considerable increase in operating cash flows, growing 67% to $245 million. The introduction of international accounting standards has in some ways complicated accounting statements for some readers and can lead to volatility in reported earnings. However, one thing remains clear. A company that grows operating cash flow by 67% in 1 year has had an outstanding year. As part of the company's capital management incentives, it has today announced an on-market buyback of up to 25 million shares. The buyback will start on the 30th of November 2006 and be conducted over the next 6 months. The company did not undertake any share buyback activity during the financial year 2006. With respect to working capital, Computershare recorded a reduction in days sales outstanding to 54 days, down from 62 days, while free cash flow increased 84% to $212 million. Net debt to EBITDA, a debt ratio we focused most on, fell from 2.5 times to 1.7 times over financial year 2006, resulting in an increasing borrowing headroom should the opportunities arise. On the 16th of August, the company announced a final unfranked dividend of 7 cents per share. This resulted in a full year return of 13 cents per share unfranked. Computershare's total technology expenditure of $154 million, an increase of 45% over 2005, was primarily due to the acquisition of Equiserve. Expenditure did, however, remain at 10% of sales revenue. The overall spend included $54 million in research and development expenditure, which was expensed despite being of a capital nature. The migration and integration of the former Equiserve business was the company's primary technology focus over the past year. The efforts of all staff involved have enabled the company to realise synergies from the acquisition ahead of schedule. And Penny and her team should be congratulated for that wonderful effort. It really has been an enormous achievement. As always, invaluable technology support was also provided to major client-facing activities such as the successful demutualisation of Standard Life in the UK, which resulted in the creation of a register of 1.9 million shareholders across four countries. Remuneration. At last year's annual general meeting, you'll recall the shareholders approved adoption of a deferred long-term incentive plan. The eligibility of key management personnel, other than directors, to receive their long-term incentive remuneration under the DLI plan is dependent on the achievement of key performance conditions, namely an increase in management basic earnings per share of the group over a five-year period. Under the DLI plan, the performance rights gave an entitlement to one fully paid ordinary share. The total number of rights approved for issue under the DLI plan was 10 million, of which 2.75 million were granted 20th of December last year. Under accounting standards, the assessed fair value of performance rights granted to key personnel as remuneration is allocated equally over the period from grant date to vesting date if it is deemed more likely than not at the date of the financial report that the key performance condition will be met. This treatment, as reflected in the remuneration table in the director's reports, results in a significant increase in the year-on-year executive remuneration figures, despite no ordinary shares being issued until and unless the performance conditions are met in 2010. Key management personnel remuneration grew by 25% over the previous financial period when excluding performance rights share-based payments. Executive management changes. As you will already be aware, there are changes to the company's executive management structure. As of tomorrow, the 16th of November, Chris Morris will step down as Chief Executive Officer of Computershare and assume the role of position of Executive Chairman. And we will welcome Stuart Crosby to the Computershare Board as Managing Director and Chief Executive. I will step down as chairman, a role I have found both challenging and rewarding over the past 12 years, and I will remain on the Computershare board as a non-executive director. While this is a change of role for Stuart and Chris, it is certainly not a change in strategic direction for the company. Both men share very similar business and management philosophies and will continue to their extremely effective working partnership, which has been forged over many years. So while Stuart will put his own mark on the role of Managing Director and CEO, this is a natural progression and a move the board and I are confident will help drive Computershare on to further growth and success as it enters the next exciting phase of its development. Management and staff. While Computershare's performance has been extremely pleasing, the past year has provided its share of challenges and hurdles. On behalf of the board, I would like to thank all our employees around the world for their ability to perform under often demanding conditions, and this has certainly been a major contributing factor to our success. The board also acknowledges the commitment of Chris Morris, Stuart Crosby, Penny McLachan, Tom Honan and Stephen Rothblum and the rest of the executive team whose strategic direction and focus on operational service excellence ensures Computershare is ideally positioned for future growth. On a personal note, I have enjoyed my role as chairman immensely, having overseen great change across the business and worked with some wonderful people during my tenure. I look forward to continuing with my involvement with the company as a non-executive director. The outlook. The group has experienced very favourable trading conditions in the first 4 months of 2007, underpinned by continual strong global merger and acquisitions activity and high Northern Hemisphere interest rates when compared with the same period last year. As a result, the period July to October, which in the past has represented the low part of our earnings cycle, produced approximately twice the earnings recorded for the same period in the prior year. Whilst we remain committed to the long-term management target of earnings per share growth of around 20% per annum, current conditions suggest that management earnings per share growth of greater than 35% can be expected for the financial year 2007. This upgrade assumes equity, interest rate and foreign exchange market conditions remain at current levels. In closing, once again, it has been an outstanding year for Computershare, and I take this opportunity to thank you, our shareholders, for your ongoing support. Before I hand over to Chris Morris to present the CEO report, let me reflect on what Chris and his team have been able to achieve for the shareholders of Computershare since we listed in May 1994. On listing, our staff numbers were 40. Our sales for the year ended 30th of June 1994 were 12.9 million. Our profit after tax was 4.4 million. We were an Australian-based software company. Let's look at where we are 12 years later. At 30th of June 2006, staff numbers are over 10,000. Sales were 1.6 billion and profit after tax was 182 million. If you were lucky enough to be one of the original shareholders with an interest of $10,000, and leaving dividends aside, because you know we're not big payers, it would now be worth around $700,000. This is an annual compound growth rate of 43%. On top of all this, the company is recognised worldwide as a clear leader in its field, an amazing achievement for a once small Australian company. I do not think there are many companies that can match this record. Chris Morris has led an excellent team that has achieved all of this. It is a record that he and his team can be very proud of. On top of all this, he's a man who genuinely cares for all his people and supports and encourages them in their challenges. I, like the rest of the board, are very proud of these achievements. What better person to take the next step from Managing Director to Executive Chairman? I now ask you all to welcome Chris as he presents his last report to you as CEO.